Wait, are we on?
Yeah.
All right, let's do a show.
The Millers of Mother's Best Flour bring you that lovesick blues boy, Hank Williams.
I got a feeling called the blues. Oh, Lord, since my baby said goodbye.
So it's a fall music preview. And we're all wearing cowboy hats today, little boots. It's the 1950s, and what if it were the 50s? We'd probably look forward to some new Hank Williams.
We'd all be sharing the same microphone.
That's right, there wouldn't be three of us.
This is a fall music preview for the fall of what year?
1951. So one of the things coming out is this Hank Williams. These are recordings that Hank Williams did for the Mother's Best Flour. We should just listen.
Huh? Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's just listen.
Scrappy this morning, don't know what I'm going to do with you. How about coming on in, everybody, and sitting down? I'll fix you up a mess of biscuits.
Get over in the corner and get your apron.
Never
on.
Fix me a mess of biscuits.
Mother's Best Biscuit. Hit me a chord in A there.
We don't have conversations like this at NPR.
Yes, sir, it's Mother's Best Biscuit time. Here we go. We're going to go down about Louisiana. Louisiana, I said. Where the old Red River flows. Let's go. I'm dreaming tonight of Dixie, cotton fields and whippoorwills. We used to live and wander through the rocks and through the rills. I can see my old dear mammy while around the place she goes. On my farm in Louisiana, where the old Red River flows.
So it's a nice way to kick it off, huh? These are recordings. I love Hank Williams. You're a Hank Williams fan. Robin Hilton and Stephen Thompson. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, okay. I mean, no. This is a 16 CD box set.
It's a 16 CD box.
Is that
box,
right?
So it's not.
And there's. It's not like there hasn't been a ton of Hank Williams Jr. Hank Williams Jr.
Yeah, right.
Different guy.
Yeah.
It's not like there hasn't been quite a bit of Hank Williams Sr. reissues in recent years, but this one, it seems like kind of the mother lode.
Well, these are recordings. No one, in fact, someone dug out of the trash at WSM. Can you believe the engineer took it out of the trash, gave it to Jet Williams. Jet Williams is Hank Williams' daughter. I think Prairie Home Companion modeled themselves after these sorts of radio shows done in Tennessee.
It was very the biscuit hour. Totally. They're tasty.
Yeah, you bet. And it was a very local show. So Hank Williams is very free and loose. They do a lot of gospel. They do a 100 or so recordings on here. Some of the very earliest versions of some of his best songs are here. I haven't heard it all because it's 16 records.
Right.
But there's a nice sampler out and. Lovely, absolutely lovely. These are Hank Williams, the complete Mother's Best recordings. Comes out September 28th, Time Life.
My favorite part is with all of these old recordings are the conversations that they have leading into the songs. I love that the Carter family, there are some great recordings out from them. There's this one called Sunshine in the Shadows, which is their Victor recordings from the early 1930s, and they have a lot of those same sorts of conversations, like Mama pulled up pull up the rocker, and why don't you go knock one of those chickens over for dinner? And
I'm also partial to the endless sponsorship pitches of that sort of stuff too, like LS MFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, that sort of stuff is always very winning, even when they're hawking objectionable products.
Well, the Mother's Best was a You hear him hawking it as great cornmeal and then great biscuit mix, but it's also great farm feed.
Right.
It cuts right across the board.
Of course, that's how I use it.
So before we get into more farm feed and more music, Stephen Thompson is here, Robin Hilton is here, and I'm here, and we're missing one person. That's Carrie Brownstein. Collective sigh.
Carrie, it should be noted, has gone Hollywood. And she was supposed to join us, but... felt she was too important. She was. She's just finished up. She's just finished shooting.
I'll do my best to carry. Oh, Stephen, you're just saying that.
Well, when your little sister is away, you have to.
Give her a hard time. But she's working on a TV show.
She has a TV show starting. When is it?
I have no idea.
I don't know when it's out, but she just finished taping just this past week, and then spent the weekend moving. So. We just couldn't work it out this time, but we'll have her on again soon.
We'll give her a hard time. But this show is all about fall music. A lot of them are the highly anticipated ones, but we throw in a couple others, too, things you might not know about at all. Hank Williams, I think, is one in particular, which nobody had a clue about. How about some highly anticipated one. So.
Well, when I think of highly anticipated for the fall, one of the first things I think of is the Sufjan Stevens record. And, I mean, we've talked about him so much on the show, I was trying to think of what I could possibly say that hasn't already been said. But, you know, I'll just say that, you know, he had the whole states project where he was going to put out a record about each of the states. And even when I did the math and realized if he put one out a year, he'd be 80 years old, I still believe that he would actually do it. And then when I found out, because he just seemed to write so effortlessly. And when I found out last year that he was basically calling the whole thing a joke, that he never intended to finish it, I was really disappointed and bummed out. And I thought, well, what are we going to get from him next? And it turns out...
You had his picture on the wall and you were throwing
things. Where are my 48 albums?
It's about me.
I am owed 48 albums.
Every person in every individual state in this country was thinking, oh, I can't wait until he does the Oklahoma album.
I hope he writes about Tommy Bartlett's Robot World when he does Wisconsin.
Exactly. But this new record that I think we were all surprised to hear was coming out, called The Age of Ads, it's getting a lot of attention for all of its heavy use of electronics and drum machines and hip-hop beats. But even though it's got all that, it's still as heavily orchestrated as his earlier work. It's just not as precious. And I really, really love that he's playing around with this sound. I was thinking I wanted what he'd always been doing, but now that I've got this, I'm glad he's doing
great.
This.
So let's
listen to a cut. This is called Vesuvius from the Age of Ads.
Yeah, me too.
Incredible
sound.
I
hadn't heard this cut yet.
Well, released a couple for free download on the Asthmatic Kitty site, the Asthmatic Kitty label that's putting this out.
Only a handful of weeks after he released
an EP, which is
the length of anybody's good album.
Yeah, that EP is 8 songs and 60 minutes long, and I actually really love a bit of that EP, too. This record, The Age of Ads, I found it took a little bit of getting used to. Because you mentioned preciousness, and I realized maybe I'm kind of precious because I missed a little bit of the preciousness. Nothing on this record like ripped out my still beating heart the way something on any one of his records before.
John Wayne Gacy
Holland from Michigan, or something like that.
But it's not an entirely. I mean, I love this song and I love most of this record, but it's a little bit of a challenge to listen to at some points. He ends with a 25 and a half minute long. song that just goes all over the place.
He does something like that on the EP too.
Yeah. So, but I love it. I think it's great, and I'm so excited that it's coming out.
I keep coming to a place, and maybe we, because we hear so much music all the time, find this spot, and that is that sometimes as I'm listening to something, I just think, you know, someone's just got to do something really, really different. I just want that. And in some ways, I applaud someone like Sufjan for doing a 25-minute song. I applaud somebody for going out on a limb.
Well, and you know, the fact that he's constantly, that he's willing to constantly reinvent his sound, take a few years off, do a concept album of instrumentals about the BQE.
Right.
The fact that you don't know what you're going to get
Brooklyn
next
Queens
from
Expressway.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't think most people know it.
I've become such an East Coaster.
Welcome. What would they call, is there any equivalent in Wisconsin? Is there
a Midwesterner?
No. No, I mean BQE. Oh, is that a highway?
Yeah, if you wrote about like I-94 or something like
that. Oh,
I-94. Well, of course. It's the name of my concept album. It mostly consists of my aggravation at road construction.
I think I'd like to play some Mark Ronson because, Robin, you were talking about how you sort of expect something from an artist who you've come to love and you don't get it. But there could be rewards in it. Mark Ronson is putting out his third record. Mark Ronson, people know from his arrangements with
Amy Winehouse
or Lily Allen. And mainly what he became known for is grabbing like the Dap Kings, the great horn section in Brooklyn, Sharon Jones is the band she plays with, and having these fantastic tight horn arrangements. So you put on a Mark Ronson record, you expect that. But instead, here's what you get on this Mark Ronson record.
Esky boy, Mark Ronson, put this one in your record box.
I take too long to answer telephone. I take too long to type my name in record messages. But my handwriting is excellent. In fact, it's second to none. I just got in from somewhere really good. They offer me the part of Bono and a speaking role. With all the merchandise and sunglasses I could ever need. I drive round cities in a chariot. I get preferential treatments at the Marriott. But if the truth be told, I'm naked under all these clothes.
I tell you what it is on my mind. Whoa. I only want to be in your record collection. Whoa. Ah. I only want to be in your record collection. Whoa. Ah. And I'll do anything it takes just to get there.
So that's his vocal debut. The record is called Record Collection.
That's Mark Ronson singing.
Okay,
I was going to ask
you
who was on that. Yeah, I haven't heard him.
I really, really enjoyed that. I can't wait to hear more of that.
Yeah, it's
just
really a great
very
record.
Springy sounding, fun.
Exactly.
Fun song.
And it's a whole different thing. He bought a whole bunch of synthesizers on eBay, old analog synths and so forth, and just chucked it and tried something different. And you got to love someone for doing that. And he came up with a record that I think is absolutely lovable.
Wow.
So he's working with the Ghostface Killah on this record, the Scissor Sisters folks, the London Gay Men's Choir. He managed to get Boy George to sing on it. Big fun, this Mark Ronson record.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah, I like it.
It's called Record Collection. It is very surprising. Not at all what I was expecting.
Yeah.
Even when I tried to imagine something completely different.
Like this?
A-listed. Flashness. I think I'm a don, they think I'm an actor, but I catch this. My two needs are a pillow and a mattress. Once I can fill up the space with a famous actress. Give me a meal, I'll do a DJ set. A broad spiky with the green like a cactus. Show off, ego's high, you can't match this. Chauvinistic pick, money man tactic.
I'm not as clever as I thought.
Yeah, sounds
nice.
Great.
Stephen Thompson, what do you have?
Well, I have something entirely different.
Good.
And also a little bit unexpected, though not as much so. I've got Swan Lights, which is the new album coming out October 5th from Antony and the Johnsons. And part of what I've always enjoyed about Antony and the Johnsons, in addition to the beautiful music and the kind of emotionally gripping qualities, is that if you're scrubbing your toilet,
where's this going, Robin?
If you're scrubbing,
where's
your
Carrie?
She's here in spirit. She just made a sarcastic comment. Yeah. If you're doing sort of
the mundane,
unpleasant, mundane sort of menial labor, like around
like
your house,
like recording this show,
listening to Antony and the Johnsons will make you feel like a tragic 18th century washerwoman.
Wow.
Because it's so mournful, and it's so, like, you feel like you should be picking lentils out of the fireplace while you're listening to, it's a little Cinderella reference,
yeah.
Right? Mm. No?
I've never heard her.
All right.
It's a hair metal band.
You guys are jerks. Anyway, you feel like you can feel sort of put upon and bedraggled. This new Antony and the Johnsons record is a little bit jarring, and I think it's going to be a little bit polarizing, in part because so much of it is so shockingly happy. The first single from the record is called Thank You for Your Love, and it's this very devotional, sort of overwhelming expression of love and gratitude. And you know, coming from somebody who's, you know, who's always sort of painted as this tragic figure, it's a little bit unusual. Let's take a listen to the song Ghost.
Ghost. Ghost. Leap from the sunlight. Do not stay. Open yawns the sky before you. Dance toward the light so gay. Do not waste a thought behind you. Don't pity this useless clay.
Amazing character.
Really is, and it's very, very beautiful. And even a song called Ghost is about kind of burying of the past. It's a surprisingly optimistic record. It also came to us, we each got one of these, I don't even know, it says, I guess it's $35, this book. It has the CD in it, but it's like 144 pages of art related to the album. And it's the weirdest thing. Like, every once in a while if you go to a record store, and they'll have like a rack of these kind of deluxe versions of albums. Mm-hmm. And you think, my God, man, you know, if you love the album but wish it, you know, cost five times as much money and took up 20 times as much space. And yet it comes into the office and my reptile collector brain just goes, want!
it's a gorgeous book,
yes,
though.
And
I've never been a huge fan of Antony and the Johnsons.
Of books.
But as soon as when that book came in, I thought, well, this is really intriguing and I wanted to spend some time with it.
So. Well, it certainly invites you to spend a little bit more time with the record and kind of get a little bit more context for it.
I think we all miss, because we're all old enough to have held a record, remember? Records in our hands.
I'm sorry, what now? Is that like an MP3?
To sit and actually spend time holding something and looking at something while you hear something. They go hand in hand. They're a perfect marriage, and someone's going to figure.
You mean like a PDF?
Imagine a PDF is
tactile in some way?
Like papyrus?
Yeah, I don't know.
That the P stands for papyrus.
Oh, but yes, it's a neat book.
Yeah,
and
someone's going to figure it out too, because you know, like doing something more visual. We've had so many attempts at that idea of listening and watching, and you know, there's the music video, but that's not quite
one word. Holograms,
three dimensional.
Somehow the
band will play in your.
That's
living
what I'm
room.
Saying. The
no,
whole
I
like totally you'll get a projector and like you can have a full concert by your favorite band materialize in three dimensions via the magic of holograms.
Can you?
No, I'm saying that will happen.
Oh. I thought maybe you had that up at your desk.
No, I still use a VCR.
That's why we have tiny desk concerts, because we can't do the hologram.
Right. The tiny desk concerts are sort of our version of holograms.
That's what got the whole thing started. How can we get a hologram?
That's right. That's right. That'll always be the dream, right. To never have to interact with another human
being. We
should
bathe them in sort of a greenish red light so they,
so they appear,
shimmer.
Yeah. Right?
So they don't really look so real.
I think our work here is done.
Intern?
How are we coming with that?
Do you want to take something that's not a hologram?
I'd like to play someone we've been featuring a lot on the site since South by Southwest, Sharon Van Etten.
Oh, yeah.
I almost wasn't going to include this in the show just because I felt like, oh, we've done a lot with her this year. But the truth is we haven't had her on the show at all. We shot some video of her at South by Southwest, and she was here recently to do a Tiny Desk concert, which we'll have up in a few weeks. But hadn't featured her on the show, and she's got a new record coming out called Epic. Sharon Van Etten, I first heard about her when Kip Malone of TV on the Radio came by to play guest DJ for us, and he tells this great story of her coming up to him at one of his live. I said, well, did you discover her in Brooklyn? And he said, no, she discovered me. She came up to him, she gave him a CD of her music, and Kip Malone said he normally doesn't have time to listen to any kind of fan submissions like that, but he put on the CD and was just in love immediately. They ended up touring together when he was doing his Rain Machine project. Now she's putting out her second full-length LP called Epic, and it's just...
Which you can hear online in our First Listen series.
We do have the whole thing online right now as part of our First Listen series.
Awesome. It's just seven songs.
Yeah, and I really struggle to find the words to describe how much I'm in love with this record. I said in my review of it that I plan to be buried with it, so I guess that's about all
you need
to say.
You need a hologram of it.
Yeah, I need a hologram. Right. Yeah. Let's listen to a cut from it, though. This is called Don't Do It. Beating heart.
She is absolutely fantastic.
I tell you what, though, to really appreciate her music, you've got to see her live. It's just the most enchanting live performance I've ever seen.
One thing that I've read time and time again, like in our comments section, fans of hers sort of have flocked to the site to comment when we did the First Listen, when we did the South by Southwest little video. Mm-hmm. People have said, oh, I first saw her in a crowded, noisy bar full of drunks, and she just shut them up.
Yeah.
And you hear that, I've heard that several times from several different people, is that she could just be playing the quietest music, completely solo, just, you know, just picking an electric guitar, and everyone just
stops what
just
they're
doing. Stops what it's, they're doing yeah. to take it in. And I mean, I love that record she put out last year, and this epic record is much more sort of fleshed out and full blooded, yeah. and it's also absolutely fantastic.
I really don't have a lot of patience for earnest, heartfelt singer-songwriters.
For love.
No, it's just, you know, it's so much of that stuff to me is just so painfully obvious. And she has this way of singing her lyrics, you know, her poetry is just very, very simple, very plain spoken, but it's not too obvious. You know, her voice is, it's a huge voice, but yet it's still a little rough around the edges.
Very, so very vulnerable.
Yeah, so there's a little vulnerability to it. It's not too pure. Everything about her music is just tweaked just enough from that, and that whole singer-songwriter genre to
her songwriting is very, very relatable. You know, she has this yeah. amazing song, not on this new record, but on her last one, called Much More Than That, yeah. that's all about just being unable to express your thoughts the way you want to express them and sort of the insecurity that comes with that. And so it's sort of ironically this, you know, incredibly wonderfully expressed song about how hard it is to express yourself.
Speaking of not being able to express oneself,
Stephen?
Bob?
Stephen. Well, I'll do a wordless record. How's that? I'll do something without any words because... why follow it with words? Brian Eno has a new record out. Brian Eno's been, you know, back in the late 70s, you drive in Georgetown here in Washington, D.C., and the stop signs would have painted on them, Eno is God. I didn't put those there, but I always made me smile whenever I approached a stop sign in Washington. And he made, back in the early and middle 70s, some of the best records ever. And he's been making good records since. Nothing... You know, look, this happens all the time. I like the early stuff. I mean, it's just, you hate saying it. But those were very inspired records, and he's still a creative soul, making really good records, and he's got a new record out. A new record's called Small Craft on a Milk Sea. It's not quite an ambient record, but he doesn't sing. That's the disappointment in it, is that he doesn't sing. And it's the thing that I think of all the Brian Eno fans like about him, not just his ambient records, but his voice and his words had so much character, so much humor. But he doesn't like his own voice, and so he doesn't sing. So, you know, what are you going to do? He sang some on the last record he put out, and it was good. It wasn't great. I like a lot of what's on the new record. There are improvisations he did with a few other musicians. Leo Abrams, neither do I know very well, and another fellow whose name's John Hopkins, J-O-N, not the...
Oh, right, yeah, right.
So these improvisations are sort of, I think, amorphous is maybe a good word. Landscape is a maybe better word. They're not songs with beginning, middle, ends. They're not quite soundtracks to non-existent films, but you just put them on and something happens and there it is. And there's nothing to be explained beyond. So let me play a couple of things. I want to play, because they're very different moods. If I play just the one song, which, why don't we start with Emerald and Stone from Small Craft on a Milk Sea. And then I'll play something else, give you an idea of the scope of the record.
Tuck me in. Spoon me, man.
Oh, man.
It's lovely. But how is this? No, I love Brian Eno. But I listen to this, and it's so hard for me to reconcile the fact that if any other artist were doing this, I'd say it was New Age space music. And I would never put this on.
Here's the difference. The difference is the depth of what's going on. Like, the sounds are so beautiful.
When you say depth, you mean sonically.
Yeah, sonically, the depth of what's happening here. that could be a piano melody on a new age, quote unquote, record, maybe. Mm-hmm. But there's so much more going on there that's worth getting lost in. There's just more to it than meets the glaze, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
What else you got?
So let's play the other. It's Two Forms of Anger is the name of this one. And I'm actually going to ask you to take this in about 2 minutes, in just a few seconds.
I love this texture to this.
Yeah. In a little more, about 2 minutes in, just to give a flavor of what else is happening here on this record. I spent a weekend at All Tomorrow's Parties, which was, you know, 31 bands, of which 18 or 20 of them were psychedelic, you know, out there bands.
Yep.
This music would have fit totally right there and more so, and would have knocked all of those people out. Well, right. Not all. Well. Sleep was pretty amazing, and there were some amazing concerts, but totally would have fit for sure and would have been one of the best.
Now, these two pieces are on the same record?
They're on the same record. Which is, you know, that is a weird thing, because when you think of an album, in many ways, you want to put out an album and it takes you on a journey, or it all has the same mood. A lot of his ambient records, my favorite of which, if you've never heard it, anybody out there has never heard On Land. That's the Brian Eno ambient record, I think, to own and to love. And you put it on, and there you are. You're in this completely different space, and it doesn't move or shift much.
It stays within that space.
Right. This one's a harder one to figure when I'll put this on.
Right. That's a really good
point. So that's that and decision-making what goes on an album, that's tough, because that moment there, which I totally love, is not the reason I would put the record on from the way it begins, which is more like that Emerald cut that I put on earlier.
Right. I listen to a lot of ambient music while I'm editing, while I'm sitting at my desk, and it has to sort of stay within a certain zone. And actually, one of the things that I'll be playing later on in the show is also an ambient record. Well, we'll get to it.
Okay.
Well, that'll be a surprise.
Hold on to your hats.
Emergency, Sammy Yenigan.
Hey.
What do we got?
An update on Gold.
Great. Talking about Dark Star. Sammy's working on Permission. He turned me onto a record. Come on, Sammy. Come up to the microphone.
Sure. Come on, son. Step up to the microphone and tell us a little bit about the record.
Should I just tell you about it? So basically, okay, Gold is the single off of Dark Star's newest album. It was originally performed by the English new wave band The Human League.
Oh, really? I love Human League.
Yeah, and so this is a cover of it and a new interpretation.
Oh, we got to hear this now. Can we play? Can I have two picks in a row, folks?
I like the idea of Sammy kind of rushing in like, extra, extra. You know,
he's I'm all out of breath.
It's smudged with newsprint.
Extra.
And I have a radio edit for you to...
Okay, great.
Out!
This just did.
All right, son.
We're going to play Dark Star duo, psychedelic-y sort of duo. Is that okay?
I don't care.
From London. Sammy Yenigan, who was an intern last time. He never left. What happened?
I don't know. He keeps showing up. We quit paying him. I think they never. He still shows up.
They never deactivated his key card. Right. I think is what happened.
Yeah. So anyway, he turned me on to a record there I was going to play today. Let's play it now. Dark Star.
All right.
What the heck?
When I think I come squealing by. I forget everything I've been told. You remind me of
remember this Human League song, but anyway, I think one of the deals with this band is that they put out a really a fun instrumental song, and everyone was anticipating another an instrumental album from them. I think 80s Girl is a Computer, A-I-D-Y, 80s Girl is a Computer was the name of the instrumental cut, and now they've put out this record that of the people who are getting this in the circles of people who are in tune with a lot of electronic and stuff are very surprised by the record and actually loving the record, and Sammy is one of those. I think it's fortuitous that he came in right after the Eno, and the hearing the textures
fortuitous are just very curious that he would come in.
You know,
right,
I've never particularly trusted Sammy.
In turn 2329 is how I've only known him as.
And hearing this music against Eno's is actually, they're not so far from one another. Mm. Really amazing sounds and textures going on, and they sing.
I guess I was thinking, Stephen, look at it this way. This is one less pick from Bob that we have to hear later.
That's true. I was thinking about that yeah. Eventually Bob can just leave the studio.
Yeah, well, he's almost out.
You and I can play.
I'm
you and I can
hungry.
Play. Yeah, you and I can play.
You're pretty hungry. You guys can talk about Sharon Van Etten, and I'll leave.
You know who's awesome? Sharon Van Etten.
She really is.
So we had really two moody pieces. Yeah. Stephen, take us somewhere. Moody. Yeah, take us somewhere completely.
So to get less moody, you turn to me.
To Stephen.
I
would talk
rational.
To Carrie.
That's true.
But
Carrie, I'd like to simulate the song that Carrie would have picked. All right, my next pick. This is, you know, certainly a fairly hotly anticipated record. It's been a few years since this band has put anything out. I got a little Belle and Sebastian. The eighth album comes out October 12th. It's called Right About Love. And Belle and Sebastian, for me, I've always kind of admired Belle and Sebastian more than I've loved them. They've always kind of pinged my tweedar just a little bit, but there are some really fantastically winning songs on this record. This song is called I Didn't See It Coming.
Your familiar arms are
I remember liking that cut. A nice choice.
Yeah, it's a really, really nice song. And it should be noted that a lot... First of all, you can hear complete versions of all of these songs on the NPR Music website. If you go to the All Songs Considered page, you can hear full tracks, all the full tracks. As far as I know, all the full tracks that were playing.
I think that's going to be true, yeah. but especially...
But more to the point, a lot of these albums, including Belle and Sebastian, we will be doing first listens of. So if you want to hear the entire album for the week, and in some cases 2 weeks before they come out, we will be doing first listen on Belle and Sebastian, just as we're currently doing one on Sharon Van Etten. And I know several other records that we're playing here today, you'll be able to hear the entire record.
That Dark Star that Sammy came in and this just in.
We'll have that one too.
Yep.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's Belle and Sebastian, Right About Love, comes out October 12th.
Excellent.
I really love that. Belle and Sebastian is a band that, first of all, they still have it, I think, after 15 years of doing this. Every time one of their songs comes up randomly, I love it. And if I put on a whole album, usually after the third song, I get the idea. And I'm wondering how this whole album holds up for you.
That's a really, yeah, I mean, I listen to the whole thing, and for me, I often wind up just, once I pick a song that I really love, like, I'll often just like, okay, I'll go back to that later, because I found my song.
Yeah.
But I think it would actually benefit from shuffle.
Yeah, I wound up in the same place where about five songs in, I was happy enough.
Yeah.
Right.
A band that could release EPs, as far as I'm
concerned. This is the luxury of getting all your music for free.
Yeah. I was thinking about this first listen, Stephen. We got the Deer Hunter record up online, and I haven't even heard this yet.
Had the full. If you like anything Deer Hunter has done up to now, you will love the new record. It really is wonderful. It's called Halcyon Digest, and Brad Fercox, who is essentially Deer Hunter and also Atlas Sound,
right?
He's released a couple of albums. Just in the last few years, since 2007, he released Cryptograms 2007, Microcastle Weird Era in 2008, Let the Blind Lead Those Who Can See But Cannot Feel also in 2008, Logos in 2009. I mean, he's had five records or
Does
whatever.
Does this guy have a job or something?
I mean, it's just amazing. And all of them are just absolute gems. Yeah. I mean, there's not a dog in the bunch. And this new record, I keep thinking that maybe it's a little more up-tempo, ever so slightly. There's this one track in particular where there are these sort of washboard rhythms. The track is called Revival. But the album, like everything else that Deer Hunter and Atlas Sound have done, it's still very drenched in reverb and delay. It's, you know, it's really very expansive, even if the instrumentation is fairly simple synth lines, but, you know, everything just reverberates and fills the space nicely.
But also drenched in pathos, right? I mean, really dark, sad.
I think so. Certainly in the past recordings, I've thought that. And that's why I think this one may be ever so slightly more upbeat, but this is the opening cut to the album. It's called Earthquake. I could listen to an hour-long version of this one song. I just love the textures and just the whole vibe, that ambient vibe that he creates. And I was late getting to Cryptograms, the one that came out in 2007, that everybody was just falling all over that record. And I totally missed it until the end of the year. And had I gotten it early enough, I would have easily picked it as album of the year. And this is going to definitely be in my top 10 for the year.
Wow. Can I have a copy?
I was going to say, I haven't heard it yet.
I'm sorry, Bob.
If only there were some sort of website where I could listen to it. It's a shame.
You can listen to the whole thing online right now.
At nprmusic.org.
That's the website we work for.
Mm. Really?
Well,
you don't say.
That's pretty cool.
My next song is by a duo called The Extra Lens. And if you've never heard of The Extra Lens, you've probably heard of its members, at least one of them. It is the duo of John Darnielle from The Mountain Goats. Yeah. Oh, absolutely phenomenal songwriter. Performing with a musician named Franklin Bruno. Whom some people, he is a sort of a cultishly adored musician. And I guess when Darnielle writes songs that he doesn't feel fit, like the instrumentation and the general vibe of the Mountain Goats, he sometimes, as he did like, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago, he'll put out a record as The Extra Lens, or as he did 8 or 9 years ago, it was called The Extra Glens. With a G and then another N.
So the next one's the extra N's.
And the thing is, if you're going to put out at least an album every year, you should try to make it as confusing to follow as possible.
So did he reach for this other person for the happier side of John Darnielle, or is this the even darker?
The funny thing to me is, this feels like a Mountain Goats record.
Huh.
And it feels like sort of a late period Mountain Goats record where it's a little bit more instrumentally polished and a little bit has these kind of clean instrumental lines to it, and the lyrics are as devastatingly poignant and
they
beautiful.
Share that or
they share that absolutely. I mean he is just an absolutely phenomenally devastating songwriter, and this particular song I think is really, really remarkable. It's called Only Existing Footage.
Fix the overheads, the glare's become too much at last. Have somebody try to boost morale amongst the cast. Thermoses of coffee in the frozen dawn. Blow a fuse and spend an hour just trying to get the power back on. Space heater starves it out again. Something's gotta give. Oblivion's been calling since it found out where I live. Try to grab another take before the night descends. Locking's pretty good, but there's a gate here on the lens. And the script girls wandered off, so we improvised the plot. Lousy continuity, the coats won't match from shot to shot. Light meter's broken down again, soundtrack doesn't sync. Annihilation pouring since it found out where I drink.
Yeah, it is very Mountain Goats, fine by me. The nice addition of the guitar, though. John's a good guitar player, but it's nice hearing something else going on there.
Yeah, there's some really interesting instrumental stuff, but it still has that line, Oblivion's been calling since it found out where I live. That is just such a great line. The album is called Undercard. Comes out October 19th. We're going to have a first listen of it on the NPR Music site.
The Extra Lens. Excellent.
Speaking of a band that ends with the letter S, I have one that begins with the letter S. And also
it doesn't even end in the letter S? That's your segue?
No, it starts and ends in the letter S.
You know, segue begins with the letter S.
That's all I had. Yeah. This is actually an album that I am just so excited that it's coming out, and I've been waiting for it for a few years now. From Small Sins, the band is Small Sins, and the album is called Pot Calls Kettle Black. And Small Sins, it's sort of like Deer Hunter. It's essentially one guy named Thomas Darcy, and he tours with a live band. But back in 2007, he put out this album called Mood Swings that just killed me.
That's really good record.
So good, 2007. He's got this very candid explanation on his website for why he hasn't been making any music. He said, well, first of all, they were dropped by Astral Works, which is their label for Mood Swings, which is astonishing to me. He said he did a bunch of music for film and commercials, and all of it was rejected. he said various members of his touring band left and went on to other projects. And then he said he just lost interest. And
could we just turn this into a telethon and raise money for Small Sins?
Seriously. And
I've got some canned food.
But he said that he did record an entire album in that time and decided not to put it out because he wasn't happy with it. And then he did another album.
Whose fault is that?
Then the internet turned it down.
The internet turned it down. So he's actually been releasing a song a week on his website from the record that never came out, and everything I've been hearing has been great. But he's got this new record coming out on September 28th, so in a couple weeks, called Pot Calls Kettle Black, and this is the title track.
Excellent. It's really hard to do a duet with yourself. It does a great job.
Yeah, this makes me want to go back to my desk and listen to the whole record again. I really love this whole album. This is a very good idea. It gives you a very good taste of what the whole record is like.
Fantastic.
That's Small Sins?
Yep, Small Sins comes out September 28th. Pot Calls Kettle Black.
Excellent, excellent. You guys are looking at me.
I don't know if it's Bob's turn. No. Bob was bogarting the show.
This is what happens when you put all your stuff at the top. Now we've got to go back and listen to Thompson again.
Oh, God.
Thompson!
A fate worse than death. Would you like me to pick a song?
What do you got?
Yeah.
All right. I got a little something, kind of an interesting story behind this one. It's a band called Black Dub. It's Daniel Lanois and a singer named Trixie Whitley. And Trixie Whitley, just the existence of Trixie Whitley as an adult singer makes me feel incredibly old, because I am a huge, huge, huge fan of a singer named Chris Whitley, who put out an absolutely masterful record in 1991 called Living with the Law. which is just one of my favorite albums of that decade. And Trixie Whitley is his daughter. and he had a record in, I guess, 95 called Din of Ecstasy that has this little child's drawing on the cover, and that was drawn by Trixie Whitley. Also, I am old. But she, Chris Whitley died a few years ago of lung cancer. He was only 45. And I just love his records and just thought he was amazing and saw him live a bunch of times and was just incredibly crushed when he died. And I guess, you know, it's interesting. I mean, Trixie Whitley is very much following in his footsteps and has a pretty similar sound. There's almost, even though obviously the genders are reversed, there's almost a little bit of a Jeff Buckley, Tim Buckley thing going on where, you know, the child sounds a lot like the parent. And Daniel Lanois actually discovered Chris Whitley. It's kind of neat that he's, you know, now working with Whitley's daughter. And so they're in a group together called Black Dub, and this particular song is called I Believe in You.
Daniel Lanois touch is just magic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just got this really nice kind of atmospheric bluesy vibe to it, and I'm very, very curious to see this band live.
Lanois just, I mean, he almost died in a motorcycle accident, so he's been through a lot, and it just produced an amazing job on the Neil Young record, which I that was fairly extraordinary. Can I get a Neil Young? We hear like 1 minute of Neil Young, like out of the blue. I mean, he basically, Lanois created, has been working for years and years and years on this acoustic guitar. I don't think I said this on the show. I don't remember. Working for years on this acoustic guitar that would do all of these sorts of things that an acoustic guitar might not, which is that, like, he could send the bass signal somewhere and the treble somewhere else and do all these effects on the guitar. And so he gave this guitar to Neil Young, sat him down on a stool, and basically said, here, play with this. And he did. They wound up doing a lot of electric stuff on Neil Young's famous White Gretsch guitar, too. Lots of effects. But it's basically Neil on the guitar and Lanois doing loops and effects and cut-ups and all sorts of stuff with the material all produced in a live situation with Neil Young in Lanois' house. I love this guy so much. He's just, Lanois' one of my favorites.
He's worked on
people.
So many great records.
Yeah. They're just a moment of sonic candy for us.
From the album Lanois, and this song is called Walk With Me.
And Lanois, I think, is just a play on Lanois. I mean, I think that's the joke there.
Yeah.
At least in some people's heads.
I love this a lot, and I was thinking, you know, you hear that opening chord of the guitar, and I thought, you know, it doesn't matter what comes after that. I mean, that is it, right?
It doesn't
there.
Matter if all the songs are about his love of his electric
right.
car.
Right. But the ending of this song, they just do some crazy, crazy, wonderful stuff. If I could just skip to the end, the last 30, 40 seconds or
so. Well, as you're skipping ahead, it just gives you it changes that notion of guy, a person, and guitar, be it acoustic or whatever, is not what you would expect. And seeing Neil Young perform this stuff live recently, one of the most sonically amazing shows ever.
Yeah. I mean, that's Lanois right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
All recorded. Neil Young said to Daniel Lanois, I'm told, I want to record these sessions only on full moons. And Lanois basically says, Lanois basically says, well, who am I to question that? Well, sure, okay.
Great. Keep record. The talent happy.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
So we'll have an entire first listen of the Neil Young record online. Extraordinary record, 8 songs. Go listen to it. It's really quite a treat. And put on your headphones.
What is the website where one could listen to that record?
Well, you can go to npr.org/firstlisten and get there. That's one easy
That's
way.
One
NPR
way.
Music is another way. You can follow us on Twitter at All Songs, and we'll tell you when that happens. Oh, yeah. Oh, that ooh means can I do my Twitter handle? Is that what was that?
Yeah. Oh, Stephen. That was I could get more followers
That's
from
right.
this show.
No,
Robin.
More stalkers, I think.
I prefer if no one follow me. Thank you.
Robin can be followed on Twitter at nprobin. N-P-R-O-B-I-N. And Stephen Thompson may be followed on Twitter at I Dislike Stephen, spelled S-T-E-P-H-E-N. And you know what? Carrie Brownstein's not here, but she's here in spirit. And she can be followed at NPR Monitor Mix.
You know, dropping Neil in, you've just completely bombed out the perfect segue from Trixie to Tricky.
Oh, I blame Neil Young.
I told you he was Trixie. No, nobody watched Lord of the Rings. Okay. Tricky is an artist from England. He's a rapper, producer, and an actor. And I have just been absolutely fascinated with his sound for a number of years now. There's always this very trippy, moody, dark, and sort of mysterious atmosphere or quality to all of his songs. And, you know, I feel like I just listed all these things about Small Sins and Thomas Darby and all the horrible things he's been through. But I can't listen to Tricky's music without thinking that or remembering that this is a guy his father left before he was born. His mother killed herself when he was 4. He was raised mostly by his grandmother. And then he becomes a teenager. He's discovering all this music and he hooks up with Massive Attack. And he gets on this incredible first album that they did that came out in 1991. And from that, it was sort of a natural transition. He did this. His debut was called Max and Quay. It came out in 1995. He named it after his mother. It was this enormous success. And then the guy kind of, he released some hit and miss stuff for me, but this new album that he has coming out, it's called Mixed Race. And I'm so happy that it's as great as it is, because I was really excited to hear that he was doing another record. And this song from Mixed Race is called Kingston Logic.
Want it, find it, see it, get it, be rich now or just forget it, earn it, steal it, beg it, buy it, can't stay broke, you gotta try, dream it, plan it, chance it, risk it, bring your guns, machete, ratchet, load it, lock it, pockets, drop it, handgun, long guns, automatic, hunt it, search it, time it, find it, wire your fence and wall, they climb it, breach it, break it, reach it, take it, dog is sleeping, don't you wake it, have it, hold it, clench it, hide it, cops or goons and guns beside it, fence it, raid it, beat it, skate it, who get caught, them cops will jail it, early check it, stop, inspect it, look who's here, constable, back it, knob it, cough it, jeep it, truck it, pull no stunt, you kick the bucket, freeze it, freeze it, cock it, squeeze it, punctured brain, nobody needs it, truck it, trace it, pick it, waste it, gunshot, bore your face and space it, chop it, bash it, smash it, scrape it, try you may, but can't escape it, rise it, gauge it, bust it, blaze it, cops it, gone, a bullet, shave it, shoot it, kill it, mute it, steal it, got one life, you can't refill it, know it, pre it, saw it, laws and rules, we wrote it. Kingston Logic. 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 Kingston Logic.
This is great.
Yeah, that's really
Tricky
really
always cool. Works with a number of different artists, and this vocalist, her name's Terry Lynn, and she's from Jamaica, and I think I read that he saw a video that she did on YouTube, and he thought, I gotta get this woman to be on my next record, and it makes me want to look up some of her stuff, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, that's terrific.
Album's Mixed Race, it's out October 5th.
Cool. Your last pick, Stephen Thompson.
All right, my last pick, it's kind of a little bit in the Brian Eno vein. Like I said earlier, I spend a lot of time listening to ambient music while I edit. My absolute favorite ambient artist to listen to while editing is a duo called Stars of the Lid.
Basically the soundtrack to This American Life.
Right? Well, it's also, yeah, I mean, it's so named for like what you see on the insides of your eyelids. And so it's sort of like nice. A soundtrack to dreams or whatever. And this is a
I thought it was about hats. I don't.
Yes, that makes all the sense in the world. This is a solo record by
not baseball caps.
Right. This is a solo record by Brian McBride, who is one half of Stars of the Lid with a guy named Adam Wiltsey. It's the soundtrack / score to a documentary called Vanishing of the Bees, and I think it's really really beautiful. And I mean, he's as you'll hear, he's very heavily influenced by Eno and Talk Talk and Arvo Pärt and people along those lines. The track I want to play is Girl Nap, and Robin, can you hit it at about the 155 mark?
Hank Williams think of this?
Seriously.
I mean, is there a further part in the world of music between this and Hank Williams?
I wouldn't if you had said, what is the opposite of Hank Williams? I don't know if I'd even have even thought of this, but I love this guy. I love pretty much everything he puts out. This record is magnificent. The album is called The Effective Disconnect, and it's music from Vanishing of the Bees.
I've got to get this record from you. That the little bit they were doing with the piano. It sounded to me like
so
they had the mic right in the soundboard and then put so much compression on it, they just let just the dampers hitting the strings and coming off the strings was creating this sort of ambient ring that you could only hear because of the way that they had mixed the sound all together, brought that up in the mix.
You can just feel that part of the song in your blood. It's such an incredible record.
We got a lot of moody stuff today, but I think that's good.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're moody people.
I'll do something upbeat.
Yeah, let's get out of here, and let's get out of here on something a little more upbeat.
I don't know anything about this group other than I put it on one day, and I thought, what a magnificent record. They're a bunch of people from Southern California. They call themselves the Red River. It's sort of a collective of, like, when they need a musician to do this and that, they call their friends up. It feels like a kind of like the Beach Boys party record where, you know, you just feel like a bunch of people hanging around and making good music and making fun music. When We Were Wild. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, Bob.
This is, I just say right off top, when I saw the band name Red River, I thought, well, this is going to be some folksy something or other. This is great. I love it. Nice. Thanks, Bob.
Wonderful.
From NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered.
Seems so dark and distant.